Welcome to the Profitable Trading Podcast here with my man, Phil Smith.
G'day, mate.
Let's get into this, man. This is going to be super useful today.
Yeah, well, I suppose like there's going to be people listening and they may have checked their bank account in the past and felt that real gut punch or felt on top of the world when the bank's full only to look the next day and you see it's drained. You might have been juggling with bills to pay in any given week, had a good month, but still, you know, felt that there's no cash left at the end. Or you just seem to lurch from one cash crisis to the next. And if that's you in any of those factors, then listen up because this is going to be good.
It is, and it's... What we're going to do today is talk about how you can build a structure in your business to ensure that you have the cash you need to pay your bills, when you need to pay them, and have some money left over for yourself. Because you know, cash flow problems, they can feel random, they can feel outside your control, but actually they are predictable, they're fixable, and once you understand what's really going on, you can be in charge of them. There's no doubt about this. You don't have to be at the mercy of the bank account.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, you're telling me the other day about another air traffic control story. Well, I mean, I'm sure you're itching to tell this story.
This is more about, not so much a story as an observation. If you think about air traffic control is like, it's one of the most stressful jobs you can imagine. Very high burnout rate. I think they have to retire quite young as well. I don't know the exact age, but so it's super stressful. And you think about, you've got planes landing and taking off all the time and taxiing and other, you know, vehicles on runways and stuff. Like, it's absolute chaos. And if you didn't have the control tower actually coordinating the timings, the spacings, the landings, the flow of things, well, you'd not only get delays, you'd actually get cars, you'd get accidents. It would just be carnage, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, planes circling, near misses, crashes, all sorts of stuff. It'd all be happening. So the aircraft can actually land right, you have to actually control the stuff. And there's a system to doing that. And obviously, without the system, people are going to die. And cash flow is exactly the same. It's like planes landing and taking off in your business. It's all about the flow of cash coming in and cash going out. It's always in motion. But if you don't have the right control, the right visibility and the coordination, well, it's carnage. Basically, yeah. Your business crashes, you know. And a profitable business can actually go broke because it doesn't have the money when it needs it. And it's very stressful for you. And there is nothing more stressful in business than cash flow issues and not having cash. It's just unbelievably stressful. When you feel like a failure, it's just not fun at all. So it's super important to get the flow right and the coordination.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's bang on. And I mean, once again, man, you come through with the air traffic stories, dude. Like, I mean, if you guys haven't realized, Tony has a bit of a thing for airplanes. It's it's really cute.
It is, yeah.
but if you treat cash flow like it's just a money issue, which is something we see a lot, I think you're going to run into some big problems.
Yeah, well, you're constantly reacting instead of planning. You're making emotional decisions. You know, when your bank account's full, you go and buy a new truck. And when it's empty, you're ready to basically exit this world. It's not good. You take bad jobs. You just chase stuff you shouldn't. You can often avoid looking at the numbers because it's just too stressful. You tolerate slow-paying clients. You feel out of control. You feel under pressure. And like I said, you can be profitable on paper, but you can still go broke. And that's not good.
No,
it doesn't
it's
need
not
to happen.
Good. It's not winning.
And it's an emotional challenge. Like, you feel stressed. You just can't be at peace when you're at home. You feel like a failure. Your confidence is very low. You don't want to ever invest in your business because you're like, well, there may not be enough to pay the bills, and that's not great.
Yeah, you lose all control, really. Whereas on the other hand, if we do take that control back in terms of cash flow, you know, we can really get things going.
So we know when things are coming in. You know when the planes are landing, when they're taking off, and how to sequence it. We stop chasing money, we start managing it, we pay our bills on time without stress or hassle, and we can make decisions about our business from a position of strength, confidence, and not desperation. Actually plan to grow, and so it's not a hope strategy. I hope there's money there. We actually know it's going to be there because we've figured it out. And so you can be calm, you can be confident, and you actually have pride in how your business runs because you know you're on top of it. So it's very important.
Yeah, 100%. So where should we start?
I think the first thing here is that your cash flow is a system. It's not a result. You know, if you've got a cash flow issue, that's not the problem.
That's
the symptom of the problem. And most people look at the bank balance as the score, which is not very, very, very helpful here. But cash flow problems are created upstream. That's just the observable thing at the end, if you like. It's like the waterfall at the end of the river. So it's about pricing. It's about the type of jobs you do. It's about payment terms, invoicing speed, how you're collecting. And so it's very important to understand that you can't manage the cash flow as such. You can manage all these other things that are upstream.
Yeah.
So as I say, it's not a cash flow money issue. It's actually a control issue where things need to happen further you know, upstream to make it work downstream.
Yeah. Like you said, man, I mean, I'd way rather be organizing fence rails at the top of the cliff than ambulances at the bottom. So
that's right.
You know, if you're focused on the bank balance, you're basically focused on those ambulances at the bottom of the cliff. Chances are, person's already dead. Put the guardrails up at the start, and then hopefully the ambulances won't be needed. So that's really what we're talking about today.
And I think that's important. And something we find is a lot of our clients, they're trying to manage the bank account, but you know what they need to do is actually start looking at when the stuff's coming in and out.
Yeah, 100%. And I think with this, you know, like if we stop managing that bank account, what we really want to look into is to start managing timing, right? Like that's the key. And I think like cash flow problems, they're usually timing problems, really. I mean, it's you need money coming in, there's going to be money going out, and then there's going to be something left at the end. So you got revenue coming in, expenses going out, profit left at the end, and profit accumulates into cash flow. So obviously with this, there can be a gap. And, you know, if you don't have enough money coming in to cover what's going out at the time, and remember, this is about time, then there won't be anything left at the end. Doesn't mean no money will ever come in. Doesn't mean you can stop all the expenses going out, but you can play with those timings. And I think this is something that is a real change to the focus.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can look at like when you're going to get paid versus when you know, actually are going to pay bills. I mean, obviously cash flow forecasting comes in really strong here. If you're forecasting your cash flow, you can see when money's coming in and going out, and then you can make decisions based on what you can change. So obviously you can change the way that money comes in. You can take deposits up front. You know, you can get progress payments on larger jobs. You can invoice faster. Now, I want to repeat that. You can invoice faster. I know I've had a lot of jobs done at my house recently. We're in the middle of a reno. And one thing I just always blows me away is someone will finish a part of a job and then they don't invoice you for like 3 weeks. And then the payment terms start. And it's nuts. It's like invoice the minute you've finished. And then that way that money's going to come in faster. So you can do stuff here. You can have shorter payment terms. Again, a lot of the time people are going to be fine with that. You don't have to do what you've always done. Point is you just might be out of sync, you know, with when you actually have your timing right. So you can pull levers to get money in quicker. You can also pull levers to manage how fast money is going out. You'd be surprised how many people are going to be okay with you paying a little bit later than you were supposed to actually come more in line with your cash gap. For example, you might have a bill due from your merchant or your supplier, and it might be due on the 20th of the month. And you might have looked at your cash flow forecast and realized that on the 20th of the month, you're gonna be in a spot of bother in terms of money coming in. What you can do is you can actually go to your merchant and say, hey, look, are you okay if we just pay 10 days later or something like that? Honestly, they will say yes. And you know why? It's because this bill is important to them. They want it to be paid. But more important to them is the bill you'll make next month and the month after and the month after and the month after. Don't forget that the real value that they hold from you is your client lifetime value. It's all of the future work you'll put through them. And so if they screw you on one, they actually kill their golden goose. So they're very negotiable. So you can manage this at both ends to get that timing right, which is really the key. It's timing more than, you know, bank balance as it is.
And this is important to understand, this cash gap, particularly when you're doing construction projects or projects of some duration, because you will be booking up materials often before you're actually invoicing, and you'll definitely be paying for your labor. I mean, you need to do that weekly or probably fortnightly at the max. Mm. So that money is going out. So understanding that if you have, you know, perhaps a project you're doing, which is you're going to bill out in stages, you may not be able to get any money till that stage is done, and you've actually had to pay a lot of money. And so how you finance that and understanding it first through your cash flow forecast is critical. So looking at that and understanding it is important. Maybe you can mix your jobs up so that you've got some other more service job work that comes in which has quicker cash flow. You know, for example, if you're not taking payments by credit cards for service work, then there's something not, you know, you probably give yourself an uppercut and start doing that because you can get the money now. There's no point waiting 7 days or 20 days or 20th of the month for that sort of stuff.
So no, it's people just, will pay now.
There is a cash gap, I guess, for a contracting or a tradie business. It's understanding it and then putting things in place to actually mitigate that as much as you can.
Which, again, if you're looking at that cash flow forecast, this becomes super important, especially if you are doing large projects and especially if you're going through a cycle of growth. I think one thing that's particularly insidious here is that you might actually be pretty in sync with your cash gap. You're used to when money's coming in and going out. But if you're doing a lot of large projects and you don't have smaller ones to sort of, you know, supplement gaps and get some quicker cash in, what can happen is you pay for a bunch of materials and labor now. You're not going to be able to invoice until later. But in that gap, you've also had some growth, you've won some other new projects, you've taken on some new staff, and now you're actually paying for even more time and materials in that gap when you were already in a hole and you've deepened that hole, but you're also still not going to get paid back for those new jobs for a period of time. And so what happens is not only were you operating in a bit of a cash gap, but you've actually made that deeper and wider before taking any money in. And so you've just got to be, it's not to say don't take the projects. It's not to say don't go after the work. It's to say you need to be looking at this so that you can manage that gap and you know, make changes accordingly. Or otherwise you can really get in a spot of bother.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of things you can do, whether it's some overdraft facilities or whatever to front that. But you got to know about it first. That's the key thing.
Well, that's the point I'm making, is if you're not looking at it, if you don't know about it, you can't do anything about it. It'll just show up straight at the bank account, which means that you don't even know someone fell off the cliff until they're dead at the bottom.
That's right. So that's important. The timing's important. But one thing that is also important is actually to control the front end. And you don't fix your cash flow at the end. You actually fix it at the start of the situation. Mm. And the most important thing here is to understand your pricing and your margins. So a lot of people who have cash flow problems actually have weak pricing and weak margins because fundamentally the business is not generating enough surplus to operate effectively.
Well, that's it. It's like I said earlier, right? Like, I mean, cash flow in itself, what is it? Well, it's an accumulation of profit. And so if you think about this, is that profit is made from revenue coming in, expenses going out, the leftover is profit. Now, obviously with this, if you've got revenue coming in and around about the same amount of expenses going out,
You've got a problem.
There's not much profit left at the end. And that's because of, you know, weak margins. Now, if you have weak margins, the hard part is there's not a lot left at the end. And sometimes you're going to make mistakes. Things aren't going to go the way you want. And so that little bit turns into nothing or even negative. And at that point, there is nothing to accumulate. And you're playing on such a razor-thin knife edge that the hard part is, you know, the slightest tweak one way or another will wreck you, and it becomes a hole you can't get out of either, because you know the future opportunity to actually make that back is also razor thin. So it can become, again, a very slippery slope.
So yeah, you really do need to control the front end, which is like, are my margins solid? Is my pricing good? Am I giving myself enough fat in this job, consistently jobs across your business, to generate the cash flow that I need to pay the bills? So that's massively important. When you do have that right, though, it's critical to actually collect the money that you're owed as well. And so you need to be pretty ruthless with building your accounts receivable process, which simply put is my process for collecting money once I've invoiced it.
Yeah.
And you know, hope is not a strategy here. And unfortunately, because there's some emotional challenges around this, you know, sometimes it's hard to follow up and ask for money. Well, you got to put your big boy pants on here and build a system to do it and actually do it.
I want to just jump in on that, if I may. Is it's like you build the system, and I think a lot of people haven't done that. So this is key. But you said the operative word there is actually do it. And like you mentioned, this can be really emotional, can be hard to ask for money. But I think actually the very first thing I would do at the very start of your written AR process, your written collection process, you should write the line, it's my money. Mm. This is my money. And I think sometimes what we think is we're asking for money, right? We're asking for, you know, our customers' money to be given to us. So we're asking for their money. But we're not. We're asking for our money. Like, they've agreed to this job. You've already paid for the time, the materials, like, and that, and again, the operating profit of your business. Like, this is already invested on your part, and you're asking them not to give you their money, but to give you your money back. Like, you've actually loaned them the money, you've loaned them the result, and it's their responsibility to pay you back. Not to pay you, to pay you back. It is your money. So write that right at the start, like before you even get into the steps, I would recommend that you write the sentence, it's my money.
Yeah.
Because that will help with your mindset around collection. Well,
and something that I've found helpful is to understand that, you know, as the bill gets more overdue, the closer it is to theft that your clients are giving you.
Yeah. Well, it's a loan followed by
theft.
They're taking the piss, followed by they have literally stolen from you. So you need to view it that way, because I think if you do, it actually makes actioning your process so much easier, because you remind yourself that this is not just justified, it's actually an injustice that they didn't pay you as soon as possible.
Yeah, a little bit of grumpiness in the pit of your stomach definitely helps with this. And the process is a simple one. You know, it needs to be written down. It's like, what do we do before the invoice is due? you know, if you contact them and make sure they're clear on what's required, payment, any questions, the follow-up process, if they haven't paid, how long that goes on for, and when you send them to collections. That just needs to be written down in action. And ideally, as your business grows, the sooner you can get someone else to do this in your business, the better, because they're less emotional about it. They're more likely just to action it, and you can still maintain a relationship at a different level with the client while your, you know, your AR team is actually chasing the money, which is really helpful.
Yeah, man. And I think, like, there might be some people listening right now that are thinking, like, hey, that's all well and good, and I would make that system, but you know what? I don't have a problem with collection. Like, it's not a drama. Yeah. People
not until you do.
Not until you do. And I think what I would say to anyone thinking that right now is just very gently remember the words of Sylvester Stallone. Is I'd rather have a gun and not need it than need a gun and not have it. This is your metaphorical gun when it comes to getting paid. Hopefully you never have to use it. But if someone tests you, you whip that bad boy out the holster and you and get your money.
If you're in business long enough, you will need this. It will happen to you. It happens to everyone in business. Sometimes it's your best client. They run into hard times or whatever, things go south. This will happen. You need to be, you know, pre-armed.
100%. 100%. Shall we talk about capacity? I mean, obviously, you did mention a second ago that having someone to do it is key.
Yeah, look, one of the big issues with collecting money or cash flow is that often there's just not the ability in your business to do the work required to get the money in, because it is a key function of business. And we think that people should just pay, but they don't often. And so we have to have a process. We have to follow them up. We have to do our bit to make it happen. And often, as the owner of the business, we don't have the time to do that because, you know, maybe we've got a small business, 3 or 4 people running around. Maybe we've got a bigger business, 10 or 15, but we don't have the capacity to actually spend the time to chase the money, to follow up, to send people to collections, to make sure it's all right. And inevitably, when we see businesses that aren't collecting cash, they just don't have the capacity in the office to do it. And then it's like, well, okay, I should hire someone to do it. But, man, I don't have any cash. So how am I going to afford to do that? Well, you'll find once you get them, you'll collect cash, they'll pay for themselves pretty easily, and you'll stay on the front foot with this. And your clients will know that you're not someone who can be messed with. Like, you're someone who they need to pay.
Yeah.
Because this is like a squeaky wheel problem. You know, your system is really making you the squeaky wheel because people will take notice of the squeaky wheel and they will pay. And let's be honest, some of your clients don't have enough money to pay everyone. That's why they're not paying you,
yeah,
by definition.
100%.
There's very few people who just go out of the way not to pay. They're crooks. Hmm. They're criminals. Most people aren't like that. They're just having a bad time themselves, and they're not very organized themselves. So if we make sure that we're at the top of the list to get paid by having someone in our office basically be dog and bone to them, then we're more likely to be paid.
Yeah.
If we don't have the time to do that, we slip down the list, other people get paid. And here's the research is very clear. The longer you take to get paid, the less likely you are to get paid.
Yep.
Say that again. The longer you take to get paid, the less likely you are to get paid. So you need to be the first people getting paid. Simple as that. And the capacity in your office helps you do that.
100%. And I think a big thing here as well is like we mentioned earlier, is that confidence, right? Like, if you're all scared of asking for money, then you're going to not ask for money. You know, and again, remember, it is your money. And again, if you position yourself weekly, you know, like, hey, man, do you think you might be able to maybe pay that bill kind of maybe today by the end of the week would be great? Like, don't get pushed around either. Remember, it is yours. Like, if I owed you $100, you'd probably say, hey, man, can I have that $100? You'd ask me very directly and you wouldn't feel bad about it. You know, and I think that's the key, is just you've got to be in the right mindset here. We've mentioned it earlier, but you have to have that right mindset and you need to have the right clients as well. Marketing is crucial. It's very, very hard to make sure you get paid if you're taking any old job just to keep that revenue coming in. And as a result, when you take any old job, you get any old customer. And any old customer might just be one of those crooks. So you need to be selective with who you work with, because if you get the right customers, this won't be a drama and you never have to pull that metaphorical gun, right?
Well, the big thing here is if you find yourself in a hole with someone, the problem is you're like, wow, I need some more work, and they give me plenty of work, so I won't push them too hard in case they don't give me more work. That is a marketing problem, as you've said. If you've got someone who cannot pay you, what are the odds of them paying you for the next job? Mm. Well, they're not that great. And for the job after that, probably less.
Or becomes a conditioned behavior, right? You've made it okay for them not to pay you. Yeah. And so they're like, you know what? I'll definitely use you again, because, like, I can use you like a bank.
Free
bank.
This
is amazing. Yeah, like, you guys are great. And they'll tell you it's your customer service or the quality of work. It's not, man. It's that you're a free bank. That's why they like you.
Yeah. And so if you market well, then you can basically get rid of those clients and go and work with other clients. And there's nothing that helps more than having some power over who you can get jobs from to actually get people to pay the jobs you've done for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to wrap this up, like, just remember, guys, visibility creates control. Like, if you're not actually looking at the stuff, if you're not seeing the story, you know, through your profit and loss statement, through your cash flow forecast, looking at your aged receivables, if you're burying your head in the sand around how things are looking in terms of cash flow, you know, don't be surprised when you have problems.
Well, this is, if you think of the air traffic controllers, if they're just looking out the window occasionally at the planes and, you know, calling them up on the radio occasionally, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be people dying everywhere.
Yeah. That's well, how imagine the air traffic controllers sitting there and they're just like, every now and then they glance out the window and then they just send a text to all of the planes just being like, yeah, hey guys, can you just make sure you fly carefully? Anyway, yeah, cheers. Like,
that's kind of what happens in a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
The lack of visibility around the financial performance, the lack of control of that is what actually generates the issue down the track. So if you don't measure it, you're guessing. And if you guess, you stress.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. If you guess, you stress. I love that. Let's finish on that note, man. Let's land this plane,
alrighty,
so to speak.
Yeah, let's do it. When you get your cash flow system right, everything changes because you realize it was never actually a money problem. It was a control problem. And once you take control, you get money in the bank, bills are handled, and there's no more guesswork. And more importantly, you feel confident and excited about your business.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.